Tasmin abhidyayati vishvam atmano.
Tasmin abhidyayati vishvam atmano.
Dvaram nirudhyasam ananyaya dhiya.
Dvaram nirudhyasam ananyaya dhiya.
Lokala ruchvasa nipidita brisham. Saloka pala sharanam yayur harim.
Saloka pala sharanam yayur harim.
Tasmin abhidyayati vishvam atmano.
Tasmin abhidyayati vishvam atmano.
Dvaram nuyudhyasam ananyayadhyaya. Lokatnaruchvasa nipidita brisham. Saloka pala sharanam yayur harim. Tasmin Dhruva Maharaj abhidyayati, when meditating with full concentration, vishvam atmanaha, the total body of the universe, dvaram, the holes, nirudhya, closed, asum, the air of life, ananyaya, without being diverted, dhiya, meditation, lokaha,
all the planets,
nirujvasa, having stopped breathing, nipidita, thus being suffocated, brisham, very soon, salokapalaha, all the great demigods from different planets. Sharanam, shelter. Yayuhu, took. Harim, of the personality of Godhead. I'm going to read the translation and go back one verse. When Dhruva Maharaj became practically one in heaviness with Lord Vishnu, the total consciousness, due to his fully concentrating and closing all the holes of his body, the total universal breathing became choked up. And all the great demigods and all the planetary systems felt suffocated and thus took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The text, previous text, the translation is, as Dhruva Maharaj, the king's son, kept himself steadily standing on one leg, the pressure of his big toe pushed down half the earth, just as an elephant being carried on a boat rocks the boat left and right with every step. Purport. The most significant expression in this verse is Parti Vabhaka, which means the son of the king. When Dhruva Maharaj was at home, although he was a king's son, he was prevented from getting on the lap of his father. But when he became advanced in self-realization or devotional service, by the pressure of his toe, he could push down the whole earth. That is the difference between ordinary consciousness and Krishna consciousness. In ordinary consciousness, a king's son may be refused something, even by his father. But when the same person becomes fully Krishna conscious within his heart, he can push down the earth with the pressure of his toe. Paragraph. One cannot argue, how is that that Dhruva Maharaj, who was prevented from getting on the lap of his father, could press down the whole earth? This argument is not very much appreciated by the learned, for it is an example of nagna matrika nyaya. By this logic, one would think that because his mother in her childhood was naked, she should remain naked even when she is grown up. The stepmother of Dhruva Maharaj might have been thinking in a similar way. Since she had refused to allow him to get up on the lap of his father, how could Dhruva perform such wonderful activities as pressing down the whole earth? She must have been very surprised when she learned that Dhruva Maharaj, by concentrating constantly on the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, could press down the entire earth like an elephant who presses down the boat on which it is loaded. And to add to that is this verse, text 80. When Dhruva Maharaj became practically one in heaviness with Lord Vishnu, the total consciousness, due to his fully concentrating and closing all the holes of his body, the total universal breathing became choked up, and all the great demigods and all the planetary systems felt suffocated and thus took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. When hundreds of persons are sitting in an airplane, although they remain individual units, they each share the total force of the airplane, which runs at thousands of miles per hour, at least several hundred miles an hour. Similarly, when, listen to this language, it's twice, when unit energy is identified with the service of the total energy, the unit energy becomes as powerful as the total energy. And he says it again later. As explained in the previous verse, Dhruva Maharaj, because of his spiritual advance, became almost the total heaviness, and thus he pressed down the whole earth. Moreover, here it is again, by such spiritual power, his unit body became the total body of the universe. Thus, when he closed the holes of his unit body to firmly concentrate his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the units of the universe, namely living entities, big demigods, felt the pressure of suffocation as if their breathing were being choked. Therefore, they all took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they were perplexed as to what happened. Paragraph. This example of Dhruva Maharaj closing the holes of his personal body and thereby closing the breathing holes of the total universe clearly indicates that a devotee, by his personal devotional service, can influence all the people of the whole world to become devotees of the Lord. If there's only one pure devotee in pure Krishna consciousness, he can change the total consciousness of the world into Krishna consciousness. This is not very difficult to understand if we study the behavior of Dhruva Maharaj. Any questions? This is a little bit mystical. But the two verses are at least the principle involved in them, 60 or 79 and 80, they're connected. So whether it's the weight of the universe or the air circulation within the universe, the principle is the unit takes on the effect of the total. And the example, all I can do is just repeat what Prabhupada is saying. In the airplane, everyone is moving at the same speed, although they're just sitting still in one place. Hundreds of miles an hour, whatever it is, 550, miles an hour or something like that. Zoom, zoom, zoom. It's not only the speed, but Prabhupada is making the point. They share in the force of the airplane. So the airplane is displacing air. Or if the airplane crashes, the crash of the airplane, they're just one unit of many, but they share in the total force of the airplane. So similarly, the weight of the totality of one place it's saying that the weight of the whole universe, and another it's the weight of Lord Vishnu. But within Lord Vishnu is the whole universe, so the weight of the whole universe or the weight of Lord Vishnu was pressing down on that foot. Specifically it says the toe, but the toe or the foot, the weight of the universe is pressing down on the earth. Because Dhruva was pressing his foot down on the earth. And then the same idea, part of the yoga practice of pranayama in its advanced stages is to block the holes of the body so that the air can't move around in the body, move in and out of the body. It stays within the body. I don't know the science of that. And similarly, as Dhruva, the unit, was blocking, then the impact of the whole was also. So, you know, vice versa. As one is influenced, the other is influenced, and vice versa. The objective of Dhruva wasn't to become a mystic, wasn't to become heavy, or wasn't to suffocate the universe. The goal of Dhruva was one thing, fix his consciousness upon the personality of Godhead. And he did that with pretty intense austerities, more than pretty intense, impossible for this age standard of austerities, but it wasn't just because he was a tapasvi, capable of austerities. He was detaching himself from matter and fully concentrating on the personality of Godhead. And as was said in the previous verse, the last one that we read, he had captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart and totally focused. So, several things. That says something of the capacity of the mind to become controlled. When we're chanting japa and the mind is wandering, we say, oh, can't concentrate. We can concentrate. It's just the desire to do so and the continued effort to do so necessary. And Krishna's help is also necessary to do anything, including controlling the mind. It's possible. He's the all-attractive. He can even attract a restless mind. And when the mind becomes so fixed, then otherwise impossible things become possible. Mystical, defying the laws of nature kinds of things become possible. Again, the intent of Dhruva wasn't to show off, or the intent of Dhruva wasn't to press down the earth. But one of the mystic cities is Laghima, one becomes heavier than the heaviest. Or Laghima, lighter than the lightest. Mahima, Laghima, siddhi. One can defy the laws of nature, because the laws of nature are there for the rest of us, and defying the laws of nature, basically, again, I don't know the science, but it's basically just manipulating the laws of nature. manipulating the laws of nature in such a way it looks like the laws of nature are being defined, but it's just manipulating the laws of nature. Like Prabhupada gives the example of nectar devotion, of an airplane flying in the air. Look at the weight of the airplane, but it's flying in the air. So there's some propelling that makes it enable to fly in the air, and so many things, aerodynamics allows it to fly in the air, but it's so heavy. And similarly, Prabhupada was discussing with a scientist, kind of an Indian man who was kind of a quasi spiritualist scientist. So Prabhupada was just right away started on the law of gravity. He said, why big planets float in the air? How do big airplanes float in the air? Then he gave an example. I didn't exactly understand it. A pin will sink, but a log will float. Where's the law of gravity? I didn't exactly understand it. But certainly a log weighs more than a pin, but a pin sinks and a log floats, so where's the law of gravity? And then, of course, you know, Ram floating rocks. Because, so what's important, the law or the lawgiver? That was his point. So the lawgiver can change the law, just like in the state. The lawgiver can make an exception to the law. Or at least the head of state, a governor or a president or somebody, can give amnesty if he wishes. He has that power. Although the lawgiver makes the law and it applies to everybody. So that which ordinarily applies to everybody can be exceptionally, the exception can be made, and for an extraordinary person, or one who is, in this case, fixed upon the personality of Godhead, and then that person may take on the qualities of the unit, may take on the qualities of the whole. So it's the weight, and then it's air, and then it's Krishna consciousness. So one person who becomes Krishna conscious can be empowered to make the whole world Krishna conscious, just as Dhruva became as heavy as the heaviest. But there's something else that's very important in all of this message, and that is somewhere along the line from start to finish, Dhruva lost his material motivation. Because in the beginning, so from sakkama to nishkam, bhakti. Sakkam is with desire. Nishkam is without selfish desire or independent desire. So, we also have desire. And there's also the spiritual desire, there's also material desire, there's a mix. And how do we get from sakkama mix to nishkam no mix? And there's at least two things that are very, very clear in this very beautiful pastime. Part of the charm of this beautiful pastime is that going from having desires to having no desires. So it's worth considering how did that happen. Something like Arjuna's question to Krishna in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how does one become free from the modes of nature? What does it look like and how does it happen? Good question. So, two things. The mercy of the spiritual master and the mercy of Krishna. So, what Dhruva, when he heard from Narada, Narada's good advice. Good advice. Which was, give up this get back mentality. How can you enter into the presence of Lord Vishnu with this contamination. Dhruva, give it up. And then other things. Dhruva, you're just a small boy, it's very difficult, extremely severe. Wait till you grow up and then come back and try. He was giving him some options and testing his determination. And Dhruva's, I can't give it up. But I want Lord Vishnu to help me get what I want. So you're a great sage, please tell me. Be kind upon me. Tell me how I can get Lord Vishnu with my sakama motivation. And Narada, seeing his determination, agreed. Here's how to find Lord Vishnu. Here's the process. Here's these austerities of controlling the mind and senses. Here's the mantra. So, the beginning of the transformation, well, the beginning of the transformation was his mother sending him to find Vishnu, and then, so he's searching for Vishnu, then Narada's kind association, Lava Matra Sada Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy, just the association of a saintly person as Narada, transformation. Then he received the instruction how to find Vishnu, and then he felt something. He felt very grateful. And that gratitude was the operative principle that helped transform his hard heart, his materially motivated heart, to a pure heart. Because that gratitude grew into love, and it manifested in the form of carrying out the instructions of Narada very meticulously. We heard this one already. And then the other feature is the object was Vishnu. And Vishnu, we'll hear coming verses, Vishnu saw this devotion, although a very incredibly austere way of exhibiting devotion. But it was his exhibition of devotion. And then gradually, the motivation, this is one of the tricks, or not tricks, it's one of the things that we need to be watchful, vigilant. And that is, in our condition, moving from with desires to no desires, and how do you stay motivated when the original motivation was fulfilling a desire? Along with some mix of a devotional, fulfill the desire by going to God. How does it become just fulfill the desire of God from this sakama position? Two, mercy of Guru, mercy of Krishna. And this feeling he felt, great gratitude, and that gratitude was nurtured by his carrying out what Narada said, his affection for Narada, his appreciation for Narada, his love for Narada grew and grew and grew. And then the second is the object is Lord Vishnu. The Vishnu is all pure, and by contact with the all pure he became purified. So in that transition, the motive changed. In our spiritual life, the motive needs to change. From fulfilling our desires to accepting the position of being the servant of the one who is to be served, the master, and we're the servant. And connect with that desire. I'll break that down a little bit. Something that I've had the experience over a number of years is the following. Like this, if you chart a curve, so here's the starting point, and here's one's enthusiasm and Krishna consciousness. There's this sharp spike. And then, because we're learning something new, we're experiencing happiness, we're experiencing freedom from the contaminations of material conceptions and so forth. Nice association, spiritualizing activity. And then somewhere down the line, sometimes it's, you know, like 5 to 8 months, something like that, suddenly there's this, like falling off a cliff. And the person wonders, what happened? My enthusiasm just kind of evaporated, and my practices are just mechanical, and you know, what's going on? What's going on is a combination of a number of things, but at least as one's aspiration to be fulfilled, I want relief from distress, or I want some economic improvement, or I'm curious, or I want some knowledge, and you get those things, then where's the motivation anymore? Because you have those things. Or there's some offenses that are made, and that kind of clouds the whole issue of devotional service, enthusiastic devotional service. So then, that's a good time to check in with somebody that has been through that and can guide you what to do. And what one of the things to do is do a reset. Like, okay, who am I? What is devotion to Krishna? What's reality? What's illusion? What do I want? You know, like a refresh, complete refresh. And then take up devotional practice, not for the same reason you started taking up devotional practice, like relief from distress or curious or economic betterment, wanting knowledge. So gradually, there may be some series of those things, but gradually the point needs to come where the purpose is different than those original purposes, or, you know, the mixed part. It's accepting my real position and my real happiness is I just want to serve Krishna. I just want to be in a loving relationship with Krishna and live my life that way. In a full life with different things, but in a loving relationship with Krishna. I want that. That's my purpose, my motivation. So that happened with Dhruva by the mercy of Narada and the mercy of the personality of Godhead. That intense childlike desire, mode of ignorance, kind of motivation, I'm going to get back. It became purified. And it was instead, I want to be with the Supreme Lord. I want to be in full, unmixed consciousness of absorption in the Supreme Lord. All that sakkama stuff just became purified, evaporated in the fire of devotional service. And the fire of devotional service replaced, the purity replaced the impurity. By engaging his senses, engaging his mind in approaching the Supreme Lord and serving the Supreme Lord, he became fully purified. Then connect that with this other point. When that stage is reached, then one's consciousness is, just as the language of the previous verse says, ananyaya diya. It's like ananya bhakti. Undivided devotion, undivided here, meditation, dhyā. His mind didn't go to anything else. He didn't want to go to anything else. Even if something else kind of passed by him, a thought from the past or there goes something. He was unfazed. He was, because he was so satisfied, completely absorbed. And then follows from that absorption, he then took on the quality of the personality of Godhead. although he's a unit, he took on the same force as the whole, upon which he was totally immersed and absorbed. So weight as heavy as the universe, or as heavy as the source of the universe that includes the universe. And the movement of air within the universe was checked by the movement of his air. And his consciousness, by the presence of a saintly person on planet Earth, the whole Earth benefits. Even one may not contact that saintly person, just that saintly person's presence on the planet benefits the whole planet and everyone on the planet, every species, everyone. So how valuable it is to become Krishna conscious. You want to do some service for other? Become pure. And just let that be your service. Just share this and here. I was teaching in the VIHE, the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, one time. And I was having a conversation with a god brother. And, you know, he was asking how is my travels and, you know, the outreach activity that I do, how's it going? And I was sharing. And then asked him how's it going with him. And he was very thoughtful and said, I think the best way that I can serve our society and the world is to stay here in Vrindavan and absorb myself in the writings of Srila Prabhupada and the commentaries of our acharyas. Because that same example is this. Because the devotees require that, and we need a resource like that where members of our society can receive conclusive, thorough understanding of transcendence. That those who wish to go into the realm of transcendence, they need someone that can, from Prabhupada's teachings and Acharya's teachings, guide that, and can actually be like that themselves by their own example. That was very meaningful exchange. Similar to with the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They didn't goal of the world. They did, at least Jiva Goswami had his three principal students travel through India, at least travel through the Bengal, because then Bengal was much bigger, including Orissa as well. So extending that mercy to others is one feature, but imbibing or receiving the fullness of available mercy is another. The whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam is framed in the message of someone who's going to leave their body, Maharaj Parikshit. He had only 7 days. We don't know how long we have. Some persons have more information than we do about how long they have. Rupa over there has a little more information than some of the rest of us have about, you know, how many minutes are left, and the ticker is ticking. So what should we do, thoughtful individuals, to meet that circumstance, and or to, having received, as Shukadeva Goswami received from his father, to give to others? Have the capacity to give to others the best service. Know very clearly what the best service is and have the capacity to deliver that best service. The whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam is for that purpose. It's designed for that purpose, for both. To individually receive the maximum Krishna consciousness and at the same time to give that to others. It's exactly what Bhaktisiddhanta said both times that he instructed Srila Prabhupada about going to the West, was, do this, it'll be good for you and good for them simultaneously. By making this effort, you will benefit, and they will benefit also. It's, in our common language, it's a win-win. it's good, all around good. And same in our situation. Whatever it is that we receive in terms of a deeper understanding of transcendental knowledge, we're benefiting, and then whatever it is that we do in association with others, we're benefiting others. Just by having received some quality of some purification of Krishna consciousness, whoever our life bumps into, that Krishna consciousness is then transmitted just by being in the proximity of others. That's the best service we can do. And then the other side, you extend that Krishna consciousness to others. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the storehouse of love of God increases. As the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of God miraculously, as they were distributing the contents increased. So they distributed more, and the contents increased more, and distributed more, and the contents increased more. It's not like something material. It's something spiritual. So if we attempt, however limited our Krishna consciousness may be, or what stage we are, if we attempt to extend to our capacity some genuine experience of Krishna consciousness, distribute prasadam, or distribute books, or go on Harinam, or speak something, or whatever one, whatever the nature of the effort is, to consciously share this wonderful, what I understand is something very wonderful. My realization is limited, but I know it's something wonderful. Let me try. That increases our own realization and the receiving of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And we become more enriched. We become more capable of distributing Krishna consciousness. Worked both ways. It's such a nice process. So Prabhupada comments that by studying the life of Dhruva Maharaj and this particular section, we can understand the dynamic of what is required in order to help others or make the world become Krishna conscious, however, whatever scale. I'm going to end because of my flight. I'm going to see if there's some questions, discussion. Yes. It wasn't automatically. It was. Say organically or naturally,
naturally.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, naturally.
Okay.
For our case, it will not be naturally. That's what I get. Maybe I want to clarify on that. We need to put some effort.
Yes. I'll give the explanation of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Excuse me for interrupting so quickly. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the Damodar Leela as, because Damodar, Damo, Udara, around his belly. That's the meaning, Damodar. So Mother Jasoda was trying to bind Krishna. She was making effort. And it wasn't binding Krishna. So, logic, she got more robes and still wouldn't bind Krishna, more robes, still wouldn't bind Krishna. So he gives some detail. Krishna was exhibiting two other Shaktis. She was making some effort, but he wanted to go to the storeroom and take some more butter. So he exhibited his Icha Shakti and his Swarup Shakti. Impenetrable, someone's effort. But because of the continued motherly love of Mother Jasoda, not just an effort, but an effort of love, he withdrew those potencies and exhibited his Kripa Shakti. So then he, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says that that means two things are required, effort and mercy. So, effort and mercy. And we have to wait for the mercy. We can't, I'm making an effort, where's the mercy? It didn't happen right away. Mother Jasoda wasn't able to bind Krishna right away. The other elder gopis, they were laughing at her. Don't you understand? It's not meant to happen. Look, you know, you got this little string around his rope with the little bell, and you did that in the morning, and now you're trying to, and it's not meant to happen. Just accept it. Oh no, I must. Motherly. Not like, I'm not going to be defeated here, I'm going to compete and win. It was motherly affection. And Krishna was pleased. Then, so both, effort and mercy. Nice one. Remember the Leela. It makes it real easy. Effort alone is not enough. Mercy is genuinely available. Generally and genuinely available. How receptive are we for that mercy? So making an effort without wishing to connect with Krishna's mercy, that's another mistake. I'm going to do it. Consciousness. The doership consciousness. That's not connecting with Krishna. Connecting with Krishna's mercy. And being very patient. What's the teachings of Rupa Goswami? Utsaha nishchaya dairyat. Very patient. Yes? Speak slowly. Yeah, I got the first part.
So you said like the effort, what are the effort or what are the endeavor we do that we have to do on our path? So the mercy, with the mercy, then all other things come in place. So how do you know that we are getting mercy? At what point we realize our...
When you're eating, how do you know when you're full? When you've had enough?
Because you feel that.
Yeah, okay. So same. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says what I just said. As with the eating process, when you've been fasting, there are three things that happen. The hunger subsides, you feel strength, you feel satisfied. Similarly, how does one know one's receiving mercy? Then there are symptoms. Feelings of love for the Supreme. Wishing to do some service and detachment from other things. Viraktir anyatra cha. There are symptoms. Those three. It's strongly that my desire to serve is growing. I have some feelings for the Supreme. I'm detached from other things. Incrementally, but gradually. Like that. Yes?
So, I understand what you said now. But, like, the mercy is also coming. But I also feel like a lot of interruption, a lot of, like...
That's okay.
Just, like, keep on coming, you know?
That's okay. Stay fixed. Stay on the path. If there's interruption, what is that? It's mercy. It's, you know... It's something back here that some act or combination of acts of foolishness are now placing these disturbances in front of me. I accept. I'm not going to budge one inch from this determination to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And even in this circumstance of distraction and disturbance and whatever, obstacle, there's an opportunity to serve Krishna. There's an opportunity to serve Krishna. Krishna is very kind. The controllership mentality says, get out of the way. You know, you don't recognize who I am. I'm Krishna's devotee trying to do Krishna's service. Look out, here I come. I'm saying, you know, there's different ways of manifesting something other than seeing, walking along the path of life and seeing whatever comes, here's an opportunity to serve Krishna. We did this for a whole weekend in Gita Nagari, the Say Yes to Krishna retreat. Remember? Did you attend that?
Not last year.
Not last year. Many years ago. Many years ago. Everyone that attended got a Say Yes to Krishna button.
I wasn't there.
Well, one of the things that Krishna Leela did, it was like, it was really fun. It started with, you know, in her inimitable style, she was standing up at the flip chart saying, okay, what are some of the things that really bug you? Like really get under your skin and disturb you. You just don't like it. You know, people were a little reluctant. But, you know, once the ball was rolling, you know, 7-8 sheets filled up. And everyone was laughing and laughing, you know. Okay, I think we got a nice, good list here. Now, how do we turn a no into yes? Thank you, Krishna. So then there was some role play. And, you know, the role play was, you know, no. And then the role play was yes. And what does that look like? And how does it feel? And what happens to the obstacle when you say yes to Krishna? Becomes service. It's so much more pleasing. It's connecting with Super Soul, connecting with He who is the controller of Prakriti. Maya Jakshina Prakriti. So saying no to the circumstances, saying no to Krishna. So say yes to Krishna. That is, here's some opportunity for service. What's the best way to serve you? Pleasingly, so that you're pleased. The purpose of that is not, you know, clandestinely, I wish to remove the obstacle. I like get it out of the way. It's just serve, or serve, or serve, or serve, or serve, or serve. Because that's who we are. We're servants. We're servants of Krishna. And then there's this circumstance, service, etc. And it was, as the saying goes, it was an eye-opener. A heart opener, that circumstances can simply be an opportunity for service to Krishna. Something else? Yes?
Guru Maharaj became practically one in heaviness with Lord Vishnu. So, how is it possible?
I don't know.
But he became one.
I don't know. I expected someone to ask that question, and I have a prepared answer. I don't know. It's mystical. The concept is we're riding in an airplane, and the full force of the airplane is shared by the unit, the person riding in the airplane. Now, if it's just a person flying through the air, it's many hundreds of miles an hour. They don't have the impact of the plane, but because they're in the impact of the plane is shared by them. That's the example. So similarly, Dhruva, who was fully concentrating on the personality of Godhead, became as heavy as the personality of Godhead, from whom the whole universe comes, and therefore he was as heavy as the universe. Now, technology is the thing. I don't have a clue, but that's the principle.
Yeah, my question is that, so this is the same thing,
like
you can become God.
No. The unit, the person riding the plane is not the plane.
But if you take the plane out of the picture, somebody's flying.
But it's in the example of the plane and the person riding in the plane, there's a plane. So the person, similarly, the person that's meditating upon the personality of Godhead carries the significance of the personality of Godhead by the personality of Godhead's empowerment. You know, how does Mother Jasoda bind Krishna? She caught him from behind. She ran fast enough to capture Krishna. Now who can capture Krishna? Kaliyavana couldn't capture Krishna, but Mother Yasoda could capture Krishna. Because it was love. You capture Krishna with love. Dhruva had captured, it says, he captured Krishna within his heart. So it's a devotional principle, not a material principle. So pull out your calculus and your calculator, and you're not going to figure it out. So don't approach it that way, please. I call it a college question. It's not empirical. It's mystical. It's one of Krishna's mystic powers, which he then empowers his devotee to be as he is. Heavy, or able to control the movements of air. The end result is not you become God or become one with God. You become empowered by God. As God is powerful, you become empowered by the powerful. Something else? Yes?
Well, it's not related to this class, but there's one question which I'm contemplating as well.
Okay.
Like, in certain situations, I became very defensive, though I know that I didn't do anything wrong, things like that. So we see the example of Chitrakirti Maharaj, you told that Maharaj, example of Ambarish Maharaj.
Yeah.
But still, it's not getting inside me.
That's okay. The difference is, they had full shelter. Their sense was, the Sanskrit is Narayana Parayana, or earlier in the sixth canto is Vasudeva Parayana. Parayana is, your life is inseparable from Narayana or Vasudeva. And when you have that shelter, it can be this, the duality feature can be whatever it is. My happiness is not over there. My happiness is in service to Vasudeva or service to Narayana. That's my happiness. And if he wishes my happiness this or that. So, you can't like just read a book and then all of a sudden you're Vasudeva Parayana. The instruction, the beginning of Bhagavad Gita is Tamsa Tiksha Sabharata. When there's features of duality, honor or dishonor, and we'll assume that the honor is undeserving and the dishonor is undeserving. Assume it, just for discussion purposes. Now what do? You tolerate it. I'm fully expecting, it may not be, but I'm fully prepared. When I get to New York, it's going to be snowing. And here, 65 degrees yesterday. And, I've been through, I've been traveling for about 2.5 months. And I've been in places where it's been wintry, it's been summery, it's been rainy, it's been dry. I'm ready for anything. But it can be whatever it is. Just serve Krishna. And, in between, besides the weather, some person's honoring and some person's dishonoring. This is service to Krishna. Now, if there's something to be learned from any of those, be tuned into the Krishna channel and try to learn whatever is to be learned from those. One of them is, be tolerant. And be attached to Krishna, that is, in this circumstance where someone is, doing something that's, what is it that I'm to learn about myself, and what is it I'm to learn in situations like this? Because it's just about service to Krishna. And then, duality can be whatever it's going to be. And that's the verse from the Chitraketu. Narayana Paraksarga Nat Kutaschana Bibhuti Svarga, heaven. Apavarga, liberation. Narakeshu, hell. Apitu Yarta Darshanam, sees them equally. So your statement is, I'm not seeing equally. And then go back to the beginning. Bhagavad Gita, you tolerate duality. And when you tolerate duality, what do? You withdraw consciousness from duality and you invest consciousness in eternality. We draw from asat and place in sat. That's the part. Where do I take this disturbance? Connect to sat. And what, you know, what's the nearest outlet you can plug into? Something that works well for you. Chanting, reading a Bhagavad Gita verse, praying. Connect with sat. Connect with eternality. Remember verses from Bhagavad Gita about who I really am. I'm not this body, I'm not the mind, I'm eternal spirit soul. I'm going to end. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, he died.